Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Dip, 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 dip.
Boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get that.
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 Boom, boom, boom.
And welcome to, I'm trying to think, episode 43. I'm Chuck Warner. With me, as always, Dave Stern. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast brought to you by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. It's pretty good.
Good's a word. Good is certainly a word.
Ooh. All right. I was thinking, Dave, maybe you and I should form a band, like a nerdcore band, maybe electronica, you know, kind of.
Right. So far, I'm already ready to say no for two reasons, but continue, since you've said two words that would describe it.
Called the Black Eyed Peas. What are your two objections?
No, basically you said two things that describe it, and they were electronica and nerdcore. One of those things is...
What if I change electronica to electro?
Okay, so yeah, then we're doing like early 80s, like kind of Soul Sonic Force beats. You're easing me back on board.
We could even go, I'll nerdcore, we'll throw that out too. We will do jam band electro.
How does that work? Is that just like you do kind of like an 808 beat?
You do electro, but then you jam band it. You jam it.
I just like the idea, jam band it. Here's the thing though, we don't do like improvisational music, we just do like an 808 beat. But we do it for 25 minutes.
How has no one ever taken the term rubber band and made it into a thing?
There's a man who has, and it's almost exactly who you'd pick.
Who would I pick? Beck is who I would pick.
No, I believe Bootsy Collins had a rubber band.
Oh, okay. Well, he would be on the list. I'm not going to say he would be second, but he'd be on the list.
Yeah, pretty high up, I think. Yeah, I think it was Bootsy's rubber band or Bootsy Collins' rubber band man. It's something along those lines.
But did he make a kind of a style of music that you would call rubber band?
I mean, have you heard the man play the bass guitar?
You have a good point. All right, this is episode 43. Episode 42, in case you do not keep up with the website, canned.
Yeah,
as in shit canned.
I'm going to say, you know our standards of quality control. So you know what it means when something does not hit that bar.
Yeah, that was... Ooh, oh, man, it's bad. We're never releasing that recording.
No.
Like, I'm comfortable saying that. We might cut out bits of it and release it. Release bits because they're, you know, it's funny for you to hear the bits. You, the audience, that is.
There's a little bit of gold that we could probably polish off, and it would only have little brown flecks left of the rest of the show. But but overall, see a bad.
It's a very very. It's like a nightmare. It's like your worst nightmare. Speaking of your worst nightmare, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think. You can go to Facebook and search for I'm Trying to Think, and you will find us, and you can become a fan. And you can write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. I forgot those at the top of the show.
Yeah, but you brought them back around. It's still the top of the show.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
We're barely a few minutes in.
It's fine. We are broadcasting from the new I'm Trying to Think studios. What is this? Studio number
three?
Studio number three. Which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing to a specific studio space we've had. Because, I mean, yeah. I'm going to say in terms... We generally record in multi-purpose rooms.
It's true.
That's the nature of the beast.
It is.
But this is a room in which no one is meant to eat or sleep, necessarily.
Right. No one...
So I think that's a big step up for us.
People will eat and sleep in this room, but...
Probably. But it's not meant for either of those things.
Right.
And that's big. I think that's big for us.
We can do a lot more with this space as far as storage of nicer equipment and... purchase of nicer equipment. Right now, we have a baffle problem. We do in that this room has no baffling. It's rather large, so it does sound like we're podcasting from a sewer.
Yeah, but it's got some nice verb. We got some nice verb. We're going to try and get that, tamp that down a little later, get it under control. But for now, just enjoy the sonorous reverb.
Yeah, we're going to get some real mics. That's in the plan.
As we constantly threaten. We're going to continue threatening that until our demands are met by ourselves.
Yeah. We do kind of plot against ourselves in numerous ways. All right. So, yeah, new space. This new studio is in actually the new Warner Estates.
Yeah, this is actually something we should talk about because
we could call it Warner Ranch. You know,
it's not a ranch though. It's very distinctive. You need to go upstairs just to take a leak. So I feel like ranch is a little misleading because it's certainly not a ranch.
Don't divulge the details of the ranch to people.
I'm just saying the ranch is not a ranch.
Well, I'm talking in like the term of Skywalker Ranch.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So Skywalker Ranch is...
Well, is Skywalker Ranch a ranch? Is it mostly one floor?
No. You're differentiating between a ranch and a ranch-style house. Like, you wouldn't say, does it have, you know, sour cream and a little bit of seasoning in it? Because it's not ranch dressing, okay? It's a ranch.
Okay, so you're going to keep some cattle in, like, that... Man, can cattle live? Because you have some space.
It is a place where cattle could be kept, but I'm not necessarily keeping cattle.
I don't know. Can cattle, because your backyard, it's got a bit of a slope to it. Could cattle work with that, or would you need to keep, like, mountain goats?
I'm not going to find out, because I'm not getting cattle, Dave.
So it's going to be a mountain goat ranch? Because they would have
there
no
There are
going to
be no animals on the ranch. I did get a new dog, so there is an animal. Mm-hmm. The dog is a German Shepherd mix.
Ready to herd
she
animals.
Could herd sheep, but we're not getting sheep.
Yeah, I mean, not yet, also. No. Let's be honest, she's 2 months. Little dog.
You know what?
She could use some work.
Yeah, she needs a lot of work. Do you know what German Shepherd is in German?
I don't.
Basically, Shepherd, the German Shepherd is called a Schafferhund. Or you can call it, like, Deutsche Schafferhund. Because literally, the guy who named them, who was German, named them German Shepherds. He wasn't like naming them, oh, they're shepherds. And then somebody was like, oh, I got this from Germany, so it's a German Shepherd. He named them actually German Shepherd. He named them a term that would be like Schafferhund, which means shepherd dog. So like their name literally translates to German Shepherd dog.
That clarifies it all. I mean, you got to give it to the Germans.
I've been reading a lot of
Wikipedia.
They
lay it out. Yeah, you've been reading up on the dog. Mostly on its name.
Yeah, well, I had free time.
Its breed name, yeah. Yeah, so it's been a big month for you, man.
I moved into a new house. We got a new studio.
You got a new dog. I feel like, I feel like all you're missing is in the past month having adopted, like, 2 children. Because then it could just be like, because I feel like it's just in a month you're just like, 32. Now I'm just going to drop an adult life on myself. House, dog. See, you just need the 2 kids. And then suddenly, it's a new thing.
That would be... I think that's not the pace that most people adopt an adult life, though.
Yeah, in 1 month?
Yeah, I mean, you know, generally. I don't think the dog is all that adult, you know. Homeless people have dogs. They're not responsible.
I can say, dog in and of itself is not necessarily adult. The dog and the house kind of as a combination.
You think that's an adult combo?
Yes.
It's like a lonely adult combo.
Lonely adult would be like a house,
3 cats,
and 12 dogs.
12 dogs. That's loneliness for you? If somebody got 4 dogs, that they wouldn't be lonely. They'd still be in the okay range.
Well, they'd no, that would also be bad.
Okay.
But I figure, you know, you're going for a number, you know, you're going for a fun number. You shoot higher. You know, we're talking here for fun. You know?
All right. Well, I'm just
saying. I would say anything beyond 2 dogs, you're starting to get sketchy. 3 dogs is where I'm saying, you know, if you got 3 dogs, you'd better start giving me a pretty good reason for having 3 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you got 4 dogs, you're gone. That's my view. What do you think? Number of dogs before you're crazy. Go.
Oh, man. It depends on your situation. But at 3 dogs, I'm starting to look at you. But there are a lot of passes when you have 3.
Yeah.
If you get to like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, each one of those, there's more and more stringent regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Over 10, something's wrong. At that point, you're running a shelter.
Running a shelter, or you've got 2 sled dog teams.
If you're a
how many dogs are in a sled
you're
dog team?
If you are an Amish farming family, and you have 10 dogs, fine. That doesn't upset me. If you have 11, that's why I put my foot down. Sled dog teams, I don't think, have more than that. But breeders get a certain excuse, too. And most people have a sled dog team, I think, also breed them.
Well, probably.
That tends to be a thing.
I feel like if you've got, like, eight dogs, it's probably easier to breed them than to not breed them at a certain point.
If Dirty Jobs taught me anything, it's that, I guess. I don't know.
That sled dog owners breed dogs?
That was an episode.
That's a really specific lesson.
That was an episode. Okay. 3,000 acres. Okay, no, he bought another 3,000 acres. They have a total of 4,700 acres for Skywalker Ranch.
Uh-huh.
15 of those acres have been developed.
Right.
So and that's kind of what I'm thinking here.
That's what gets you the ranch, is just the surrounding area?
Yeah. Yeah. The ranch contains a barn with animals. Now, you have to admit, I have a little bit of a barn situation going.
You've got some animals.
Yeah. In a specific place.
I'd say that's more of a...
With a steepled roof.
More of a room than a barn, but... I'm on board.
I'm calling it the barn, ergo it is a barn. I define my own reality, Dave. That's the important lesson you're going to learn in this short conversation. Vineyards. I will work on the vineyards. I do not have the vineyard yet. A garden with fruits and vegetables used in the on-site restaurant. It's winter, so give me a little time on that. An outdoor swimming pool and fitness center with racquetball courts. Okay, I have a fitness center. Actually, here at the ranch, we have two fitness centers. The man-made Lake Ewok. Okay, I do not have a Lake Ewok.
You're working on that, though? Is that a plan?
If I had a lake, Dave, the last thing I would name it is Lake Ewok. A hilltop observatory.
You actually got to give...
I do kind of have a hilltop observatory.
Yeah, you know, I've actually got to give George Lucas a little bit of credit for just really doubling down and being like... Okay, I know what nerds get all, you know, pissy in their jeans when you talk about Ewoks, but one, fuck you, I'm going to name my lake after Ewoks. Two, even though that doesn't really make sense. So, you know, I got to give them credit for doubling down
there. I think they're digging it out now, they're doing some major operations over there, and when it's finished, the... Jar Jar River will flow out of Lake Ewok. So, a 300-seat theater called The Stag. Okay, 300 seats is overkill. So this ranch, while we have a theater, is not going to be 300 seats.
Also, here's the thing. If you're calling the theater a stag, that to me raises certain expectations about the movies you're showing.
It's true, and I don't think that they're showing a lot of
these
movies.
So is he just showing these old, like, porno 9mm straight? Just nothing but.
That would give me a lot more respect for
George Lucas.
George Lucas.
Like, he's just got the Stag Theater where he just shows like films that, you know, guys would quietly trade in the 1950s.
Yeah. So I call this a ranch, and I don't have a full name for the ranch yet, but it's ranchish here. And certainly it's a creative retreat for you and I.
Of course.
The ranch.
Of course.
So
like all ranches are.
Like all ranches are. Or should be. So, we're in the new space. We're making a new, higher quality show. Hey, Dave, I'm sorry, but the fact that you and I got to the point where we were willing to reject an hour's worth of recording.
Okay, if you mean just higher quality than that. If you're saying higher quality
high
than the last
quality.
Show we tried to record... I'm on board.
We're producing a high-quality show. I listen to a lot of podcasts, Dave. This is a good podcast we're producing. Most podcasts, they're going to sit there. They're going to give you information about something. Whatever. They're going to crack some really funny jokes. We don't need that, okay? This isn't a pretentious podcast. No, we're without the pretense. And that makes us good.
I'm not 100% sure I follow you, but I'm on board.
All right. I want to recap some topics.
I don't understand, but I agree.
I want to recap some topics from episode 42. But we're going to recap them in short order, very quickly, with no discussion. Are you on board here?
Sure.
The reason is episode 42 was bad. Maybe the topics of discussion were bad. So we're going to hopefully just get them out there and... They won't ruin this show, is what I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, Dave, okay?
Not sure I understand the logic, but I can't stop right. you. I can't stop
This is how it goes. All right. Boom. Okay, first point. Was we were talking about Brett Favre in episode 41. We were talking about the naked pictures being sent to the girl, right?
Yeah.
Pictures of his pee-pee, right? Okay. And then it happened that the week after that show was released, someone accidentally sent me naked pictures of themselves to my email address, thinking I was someone else from their phone. That was ironic. That's it. We're moving on.
Yeah, that's funny.
We're not going to talk yet. Yeah. That was just it's in funny and of incident. Itself. We're not going to talk
that's
about
funny.
The details.
It happened.
Because yeah, we did that in the last show.
Sad
it was bad.
And
no,
sad
we don't want to.
Sad
but we're moving on. Boom. Two, my friend recently discovered Pandora, just like he didn't know it existed before. He's a 33-year-old man. There is no excuse for that. Like, my parents telling me they just found Pandora, understandable. But somebody my age, unacceptable. Moving on. All right. Sting can be accused of both stealing black people's music and playing too much lute. Stands on its own. Moving on. And that's it. That's I think, all the topics from that show that I wanted to really cover.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, okay, good.
Done. Episode 42 in the can.
Can, right there. You got your little mini episode 42.
Yeah, now I can delete the fanboys. I can delete that file. So that's
well, we might still use some choppies for it. I think it would be funny for us to listen to episode 42. Like, for episode, like, 44... We could listen to episode 42 and comment on it, so people would just get our commentary, but they would never actually see the original piece. You know, because you can watch the director's commentary on your favorite film, right?
And then you don't have to watch the film.
Right. This would be like, you would listen to the director's commentary on something you've never seen or heard and will never see or hear. It's experimental, Dave.
It is experimental.
But it is something I'm willing to do for the fans.
It is something you are willing to do for the fans.
It is something I am willing to do for the fans.
See, I'm agreeing with you on the places where I can agree with you.
Yes. So there you go. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's an idea.
I think we could do a whole series of commentaries. But I think the rest would probably be, you know, to things that other people might watch. You know how, like...
Hmm.
If you watch The Wizard of Oz and play Dark Side of the Moon, it apparently syncs up, right?
Right. So
we
so
would
they
do a podcast where we were watching something and commenting on it, and then the fans could go out and see what it matches up to.
Also, it would be kind of like the. Like the Riff Tracks thing, you know, that the Mystery Science Theater guys do, or the Cinematic Titanic ones that the other half of the Mystery Science Theater guys
Which
do.
Which I don't understand why those guys split up. That just makes me sad.
It's not that they split up. It's like the two casts do the two different things. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's split precisely along the, like, Joel cast and Mike cast.
But that's not how that show worked. They had crossover, especially behind the scenes, like, because a lot of those people were writers and stuff, too, so...
Well, yeah, it just happened. Yeah, it's twice as much stuff, I guess.
I don't like it. It was like when John Linnell went off and did his own thing, like State Songs and stuff, and John Flansburg was like doing Monopuff. That was a period of my life when I was very unhappy.
For that reason, or is that just coincidental?
Probably coincidental, but...
Yeah, okay, that's good, ultimately, because otherwise that would be sort of a perspective problem.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Some people like some things, and then when those things go away, they get very upset. I usually laugh at those people. Maybe I'm one of them. So anyways, we watch a movie that you and I like, or don't like. We comment on it without mentioning names or anything else.
Yeah, so that's, like I was in the middle of before we sort of detoured there.
Yeah.
That's the catch, is our thing. It's like, you know... A Riff Tracks kind of thing, except, you know, since we're not, I'm going to say we're probably not as good at it as people who've, you know, spent like 20 years doing it professionally.
Probably not.
But our edge, where we make up for it, is it's a mystery what right. movie it is.
Literally a mystery theater. Yes. Science, maybe, maybe not. We're not promising.
Yeah, we're not telling you.
Yeah, we're not telling you.
You know, it's like so, you just download this, you sync it to something. I don't know.
Find
maybe,
it.
You know, maybe it's a commentary for Heat. We talking about Al Pacino?
Maybe.
Well, you don't know because we're not saying it.
Because we're saying that guy, but that guy over there. You know, and then we're all pronouns and me pointing at the screen. So Dave knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we slip in clues so they can, you know, a savvy person can find out. But anyways,
yeah, the theory, that guy with the black hair.
The people who believe the Dark Side of the Moon syncs up with the Wizard of Oz would have to then believe that the members of Pink Floyd sat down and scripted it such, right? So that it would have to be done on purpose, right?
You
or maybe
think
they
so.
Think, maybe some of them think it's just an accident that's cool. Who knows? But I would have to think many of them think it's on purpose. Okay? So, we give them that purpose, like we did this purposefully, but...
But you have to find...
Yeah. The process of whoever was out there trying to see if Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz synced up...
Had a lot of
whoever
free time.
That, yeah, whoever that person was, they didn't even have the tip. That it might work out. They just tried something. We'll give you a tip. We'll let you know.
Yeah. If you try something, it'll work.
Something is going to work, but we're not going to tell you what.
Okay, actually, I'm going to slip you in a little bit of a clue.
All right.
It is going to be Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, man. I have to watch Conan the Destroyer. Suddenly, this whole project took a turn.
Okay, then, you know, in that case, let's reconceptualize. Let's go to break and scrap the whole thing. Maybe build it back up.
But, yeah, we'll have to sit down on this then.
Because I'm pretty sure it has to be Conan the Destroyer.
Why does it have to be Conan the Destroyer?
Well, that's just all indications are pointing to that to me.
Oh, well. I just thought maybe we could do, I don't know, Heat.
Pretty sure that's not Conan the Destroyer, though, so that's going to be a problem.
Okay, so you're saying Heat is not Conan the Destroyer?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to have to look that up on Wikipedia.
All right, then. So. Let's take five and let you figure that out.
You want to take five? All right, that's fine. We'll take five. We will be back in several moments.
Taking five to us, you know, thanks to Studio Magic, is nigh instantaneous to you.
Yeah, it's like it never happened. Like, we could take 5 days, you wouldn't really know the difference as fans.
Studio.
Yeah.
Magic.
It's pretty magical. But we'll be right back with more, I'm trying to think, after this little ditty by the Black Eyed Peas.
Tonight's gonna be a good, good night for Dave.
Welcome back to episode 43 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Warner. Dave Stern is with me, as always. It's a wonderful partnership we have going here, Dave. All right, something I have in our notes, and we like to take notes, Dave. Our
copious.
Show notes are interesting.
Copious notes.
Yeah. They're usually in the form of like a single sentence that really does not explain what the topic is that we're getting behind, but...
Copiously.
For this episode, I have this note.
I don't know what the word copious means.
We stalk our fans instead of them stalking us.
That's true.
That is true.
Although, in this case, we is a strong word.
No, I'm going to implicate you.
I guess I can't stop you.
But if there's a court case, buddy, you're right there with me. We're up to 39 fans on Facebook, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the question for you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
See, this is why I'm trying to... Before we get to that, I was going to say, this is why I keep on trying to Well, and by trying, I don't actually mean trying, because if I was trying, I would do the simple steps to make this happen, but I haven't.
Yeah.
But this is why I want to get you on a number, like RSS subscribers or podcast downloads or something, because that's a number you can fixate on, which doesn't give you the stalking impulse, because it's a much more anonymous number. Because I know you like numbers, and I want to help you with that, but if we're going by Facebook numbers, it just gives you this real, and I understand it, it's a real prying impulse.
I like numbers, Dave. I also like stalking people.
Okay, that, yeah, then we should keep on fixating on the Facebook stuff.
Why wouldn't we?
Because that's golden.
Why wouldn't
we? For both of your interests dovetailing really nicely together.
Exactly. So, yeah, we got some new people here.
Welcome all.
Yeah, great. Thank you for being fans on Facebook. But here's the question, Dave.
Shoot it over.
The question I have for you is, will our Facebook fans ever go higher than the number of episodes produced? And if so, what episode number will they surpass? Because right now we have 42 episodes. This is episode 43, right?
Yeah.
Not counting the prequel episodes and episode zero. So, 39 fans.
Man, that made it 42 sound like
episodes.
That made it sound like we have a really complex mythology.
We do. That no one is aware of. Moving on, though. 39 fans, 42 episodes. How long? When's it going to be? Because there was a time early on when I think we had more fans than episodes.
Like maybe 1 to 6?
Yeah, or like 10 or something.
10 to 4, something like that. Starting to
have more episodes than fans.
Yep. I'm going to give us... I'm going to pick 50 because it's a nice round number.
You like 50?
I like 50.
Well, we're recording that in the... That's my... Recording it in the annals of I'm trying to think history.
Man, that didn't even sound like a keyboard. Here's what I don't get about that as a sound effect.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's why you're a shitty Foley artist.
Because
in front of you...
I know what you're going
to
say.
In front of you to make the keyboard sound, there is... an actual, factual, literal computer keyboard that you could have done fakey typing on.
You know what? Fine, Dave.
What you chose, to just kind of hit a table.
The number I'm picking, personally, is 65. Okay?
Okie dokie.
About there. And we'll see who gets closer. I'm going to record 65 in the annals for myself. That's me. Okay. There, that's been recorded.
Yeah, you're fired from Foley.
We have the best Foley ever. hand me the tools.
Chuck, there's a reason that when you were in the room, those tools were where you could reach them.
Yeah.
And then when you left the room, they stopped being where you could reach them.
I'm just saying.
But
that
you know what? Since it's a situation, it's situationally appropriate. So fine, I will let you have your tools.
This, I'm going to record this objection of yours in the annals of I'm trying to think of history. Just let me get, let me type this up here. You know, for a fart putty, it really doesn't sound farty enough.
No, that was more like...
That's pretty good there, right?
There you got it. Okay. Because for a while it was just sounding wet and
yeah.
Like.
That's
I don't know.
All right. Well, you'll all be happy to know that in the move we did not lose the fart putty. So that's good news.
Dave. Thank God.
Thank God. All right, Dave. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, we stalk. I stalk. We stalk. There is stalking. I'm always
stalking occurs.
I'm always interested in how many fans we have, how many people are fans of us on Facebook. I'd be interested in how many downloads we have or whatever. We need those stats. But the key is why I'm interested in all that is that I just want to know how much longer it is until I get to go to like celebrity parties and, you know, live a life of luxury. Off fat, I'm trying to think cash.
Man, so I think it's a couple-step process.
Uh-huh.
First, podcasting has to be a thing that people do, like normal people, like listen to and download.
Yeah.
Then people have to be able to make a lot of money from it.
Right.
That's step two.
Okay.
Then step three is we do that.
Okay. Well, see here, Dave, this is how it actually works. And this is how an insider, from an insider's perspective, me being an insider. Okay. You make the podcast, right? Somebody hears it, right? And then they ask you to write a pilot. That's where the big money comes in, Dave.
You know?
Yeah.
I would say that that sounds retarded. And also, that sounds retarded. But we live in the same physical universe in which there was the Shit My Dad Says sitcom. And
yeah.
That exists.
Exactly.
So what the hell?
We're right there.
You know? What the hell?
We've lined up. We're lined up so that we'll be 50 episodes deep when when that craze starts, they'll be like, well, who's podcasted the most? And, like, they can look at, like, your other comedy podcast people who have much more renown than we do, who have famous people on their little podcast and stuff like that, right? But a lot of them do not have 50 episodes.
Oh, man, here's a problem, though. Here's something that I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
A lot of them do.
Yeah, but fuck those guys.
Okay, that's fair. There. Sure, we're on the rocket train to stardom.
Yeah.
Can't deny that.
A lot of people, you know, record when they feel like it, Dave. We record when we feel like it in as bi-monthly a way as we can. And that's what separates us from the crowd. That's what's going to get us the pilot.
That's true, because if there's one thing that I know that television producers are looking for, it's semi-almost punctuality.
Yeah.
That's the top thing. They're not looking for Q rating.
No.
They're not looking for, I don't know, all those other things that we don't have, because why would we have them?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for semi-punctuality.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
We put out stuff sometimes.
Basically...
We basically put out stuff sometimes.
Basically bi-monthly.
So, yeah, that just makes us the right people for whatever job we're talking about.
Writing a
pilot?
Yeah.
That's the job you're talking about?
So, I'm not even going to ask you what the pilot is about, because that doesn't matter. That's not the question that we have to answer right now to propel
ourselves.
Hey, I'm
just saying, if you've heard the show, and, you know,
I hope
you've heard the show, or you, the listener, or you... You know, the producers who are scouring the internet for comedy podcasts with over 30 fans, but less than 40.
Yeah.
Which, because that's the sweet spot where you really want to draw your pilot writers from.
We are getting that 30 to 40 fan demographic, which is vital to advertisers.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm saying anyone who knows that, anyone who's listened to that stuff, knows that pretty much all we do is come up for pilots for things and then not follow through. So just pick one of them.
It is true.
Pick one and we'll go.
We do have a lot of ideas. So that's exactly why I'm not even asking that question, Dave. We need to get to a more important question.
Do you have a more important question?
Yeah, okay. Do we appear on Conan together? And if so, who sits in the nearer seat to Conan?
I'm going to say that... Some of it depends, because it's got to just be framed right on television.
Yeah.
So, it depends on how tall the person who's on after us is. Because there's got to be some sort of height ordering that makes it all make sense. Because he's a tall guy, you're a fairly tall guy, but I think not as tall as him. I believe he is some sort of towering man.
He's got a good 3 or 4 inches on me, at least.
So...
If not more.
I don't know, it depends how you want to stagger the heights. I'm not a you know, I'm a podcast editor. I'm not a television producer. You know, nor am I a cinematographer. So I don't really know how you want to stagger heights ideally on a camera.
Right. Well, I mean, somebody knows that information, though. So you think it's just going to be height-based?
Yeah, see, mostly.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that, first of all, unlike the olden days of television, most guests just leave the set after their interview. Some stay, but not all. Andy, though, is always on the couch.
Yeah, in the new show, right?
In the new show,
back on the couch. He's not on the goofy podium.
No, he's not always at the Goofy podium. He spends some time at the podium, I think, to announce the show. I never understood the podium in the other show, but that doesn't matter. So, yeah, this is my thought on it, okay, Dave? And that is that I am the talkier one. So I should probably sit next to Conan. And then when he does, like, the roar, he'll do it to me. On Leno, you can sit next to Leno.
Rather not.
George Lopez.
I'll take that.
I mean, you could sit next to George Lopez. Letterman. I'm going to let you sit next to Letterman.
Okay.
Conan's my boy, though. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. We got that hammered out.
So, that's hammered out. Do we do Howard Stern? That's a good question.
I don't know. I can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even on real radio anymore. He's on that fake radio that nobody has.
And if he was on real radio, who cares about that anymore?
Yeah, either. I mean, neither one is relevant. So fuck that guy. Let's see. Other famous people questions. Whose after party do we go to for, like, the Grammys?
I think the idea is all of them. You know, you skim. You know,
you skim?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't go too deep into a specific party.
Well, I mean, if you have to pick a couple people, like, whose after party are you not going to?
For the Grammys?
Who are you going to snub?
Specifically?
Yeah, who are you going to snub for the Grammys specifically? I'm going to tell you first snubby for me, Diddy.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Diddy. You're snubbed.
Is he still Diddy or does he have a different name?
I don't care.
I feel like he changed his name again.
Don't care, Padiddy. You're a padiddle in my book. And that is an insult.
Okay, I was wondering, because it didn't make sense as a thing. I mean, it seemed insulting, but not in a way that it made sense.
That doesn't matter. Diddy, you snubbed.
All right, so follow-up
question. I would go to Elton John party. Elton John party, definitely.
Yes, yes.
That's a big yes.
I think the key is, you know, if you're just going to go up and down about specific, you know, celebrities, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be doing this all night, you know, you're by the time you figured it out, you know, by the time you figured out what Grammy party you're going to, it's already the Emmys. Okay, but anyhow, so what you need to do is you need to start narrowing down by categories.
Okay, would you go to a Taylor Swift party or Kanye West party?
Categories.
Taylor Swift party, Kanye West party.
Okay, so here's the question.
Yeah.
Are you ignoring my good advice, or are you using those concepts, are you using those names as sort of metonymy, like concepts for a type of party?
Sure.
What are you thinking?
I'm just trying to start to narrow it down. Let's get specific.
Yeah. So I'm saying...
It's not that your suggestion isn't a good one.
Uh-huh.
But I honestly wouldn't go on the basis
of... Are you just picking between the two?
Yeah, I wouldn't go on the go to a party just on the basis of it's an R&B artist or it's a pop artist or it's a rock artist.
Fair enough. Okay, so if we're drilling down to specifics, I gotta say Kanye West in like a heartbeat, no contest,
not even close to a contest. Hmm. Yeah, I mean that's a tough one for me. I don't know.
See, for me, not at all.
Taylor Swift doesn't do anything for me necessarily. But I think some of the people at the Kanye West party would annoy me, whereas some of the people, I would want to meet some people who end up at a Taylor Swift party.
Like who? Who's ending up at a Taylor Swift party that you want to meet? Because here's the thing. I feel like people at a Taylor Swift party would be annoying me and kind of boring, whereas people at a Kanye West party will certainly also be annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'd say this is someone who actually, on the drive over here, I was listening to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
All right.
The new Kanye West album, which I would like to note, is named My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Most of the songs on it are over 5 minutes long. And the picture is a sort of, like, weird painted version of someone who is probably him fucking a demon lady.
All right, I'm not listening to that album.
So, basically, what that album clearly shows and what I think would be great about the party is that it would be crazy. Because basically, I don't know if you listen to, you know, old Kanye West stuff.
I'm interrupting.
Fine. Go for it.
We're trying to be less interrupty. But one thing that Sarah Jordan recommended is that we argue more.
Yeah.
So here comes some argument.
Yeah, so you're going on the Taylor Swift thing. Yeah. But I'm just going to lay it out, basically.
No.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about what that album says to me.
Go for it.
Called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, right? Yes. A, number one.
Yes.
Number two, has a painting on the front of probably Kanye West having sex with a demon lady.
Yeah, not in... I can tell you, it doesn't have that painting in Target, but it does... Actually, the Amazon copy I have has that painting censored out. But yeah, it's him fucking some sort of like lady with wings.
All right. So what that says to me is Kanye West played more Dungeons and Dragons than he is willing to admit.
That's not impossible.
Bam. I just laid that down.
See, you're coming at me like that's an argument. But I'm not sure if that's...
I'm going to drop the mic.
Okay, that was half-decent Foley. You may be saving yourself from the firing.
Sweet!
But anyhow, circling back to the party thing. If you listen to the album, which I would recommend giving it at least one or two listens, because it's crazy.
Do the lyrics remind you at all of Manowar?
Not exactly.
Then I don't want to listen to it. But if it were about his D&D characters, I would listen. Which is what all Manowar music is about.
There is a part where he talks about being a pharaoh. That's kind of like a D&D for black people. And then he talks about putting pussy in a sarcophagus.
I'm pretty sure that black people found Al-Kadim offensive. D&D joke.
Circling back. Towards the point I'm trying to make.
It's the point. So basically, like a toilet, almost, where you hit it and you slowly,
going
but
around
surely,
and around,
you're going
yeah.
around. Yeah.
Is eventually we will. If you listen to the new album, one thing that I think is very clear, especially compared to his older, certainly compared to the stuff he was doing, around the middle of the last decade, and even compared to, the last album he made, which was weird, but in a different way.
You're getting frightfully close to, like, way more music nerdery than this show can handle, but...
Don't worry, because the actual comparison I'm going to make has nothing to do with music. See, that's what saves it.
Excellent.
One thing that is very clear from this album, and that makes me want to attend his party, is that it is clear that fame has driven him... utterly mad. Barking mad.
Did you need an album to tell you that?
The album?
Like him
His Twitter feed gives you a pretty good indication. But, some people on Twitter, they just go a little, whatever. It's crazy. It's Twitter. But he's clearly living
For instance,
it.
They blame God for dropping a touchdown pass. I mean.
Oh, that guy's great. But anyhow. So, you go to a Taylor Swift party, it's going to be a Hollywood party, They're having, there'll be ladies in, I feel like they'll be in, nice after-party dresses, It'll be kind of glad handling and, music industry-ish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West party. Anything could be happening. Like, there might just be, giraffes with rhinestones on just walking around, They might be, serving drinks. Like, the giraffes. I don't know why. The only example of something completely crazy I can think of right now is giraffes running around a party. But, you get what I'm saying.
All right.
Anything could be happening. Especially if it involves giraffes just sort of walking freely, I'm saying he's in that level of famous and successful and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Where one, you could tell me anything about him and I would probably believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And where I feel like anything could happen.
Okay.
So that's the party you have to go to, I think.
All right. Let's just compare Kanye West's latest tweets to Taylor Swift's latest tweets.
Let's do it. I think it'll give you an idea.
Okay, Kanye West tweet.
Wait, hold on. After, do the first one, maybe one of each. Then just start giving me tweets and I have to guess.
All right. Okay. Kanye West's... first tweet is a link to a video. Looks like it's Rejects starring Chris Brown. Link to a video. I watched this 10 times. Shit is so fresh. Okay. Taylor Swift's latest tweet. Gotta send big love to my smallest friend at Yelya Williams for introducing me at the CMT Artists of the Year event. Barefoot. I adore her. Okay.
Okay, so that's the baselines we've got.
That's the baselines. All right, now we're just going to give you a random tweet, and you'll have to decide. At a fun TV taping tonight, I watched a producer actually tell Grant Mikkelsen to duck down because his hair was blocking camera angles.
Okay, now, here's going to be my reasoning on that.
All right.
Well, here's two things. One, I don't know who Grant Mikkelsen is, but I can tell you who Grant Mikkelsen isn't,
mm-hmm.
and that's anyone who's not a country music artist or a white guy. Cause,
probably a white guy.
And two, I think Kanye is a little jaded by production, and he's a producer, so I think he'd be less impressed by that whole thing. I'm going to say that's Taylor Swift.
That is Taylor Swift. All right. Here's the next tweet. You have to balance ignorance with intellect. Can't have school without recess. And then this was tagged, greatest tweet of all time.
That tag gives that away. That one's... One, I was 90% there already.
Uh-huh.
The tag kills it. That is a Mr. West kind of thing.
All right, yes, Kanye West. All right, next one. Ready? Colon, space, end parentheses.
Right, starting emoticon style. That it?
Yep.
That could go either way, actually.
Yeah, now you have to think.
Thinking, who's dropping smileys?
Who's dropping smileys?
See, I'm going to say Taylor Swift, but I could be wrong on this one.
Kanye West.
Damn.
All right, next one. Ready? With family, God is good. Happy thanks. Obviously tweeted on Thanksgiving.
That's another one that could go either way, because Kanye West, fairly religious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, I believe in the chorus to one of his new songs, sung, and I'm not sure if this is on purpose or semi-coincidental, but I feel like it's probably on purpose, sung to basically the melody of the verses in Iron Man, you know, Black Sabbath's Iron Man.
All right.
The chorus to one of his songs, and the song is about sort of strange fantasies of marrying a porn star. Or okay. Having sex with a porn star.
All right.
It's not really clear. It's a little fuzzy. But the chorus to the song is, no more drugs for me. Pussy and religion is all I need. All
right.
Which one, you know, that's...
That's interesting. I don't know which religion he's following, but it's obviously a pussy-oriented one.
No, it's... And don't ask me about the details or, you know, how they make sense, but it's very much Christianity of some sort.
But Christianity, I'm going to tell you, I know you're a Jew, oriented religion, but yeah, Christianity is not
my understanding.
Like not hugely pro pussy, where I would assume pussy means women you are not married to.
Mostly,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
But anyhow, I'm going to guess
because you do not. If you're a married man hanging out with your friends at a bar, you do not say, "I am hoping to get some pussy tonight." And mean at home. Like, that just doesn't jive, I don't think.
Okay, but anyhow.
I don't know, that's just me.
Okay, yeah, that's enough about that's enough about your sad bar existence, which we just don't want to hear about.
Actually, if you want to know about my sad bar existence, it is that I basically have not been to a bar in like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, your sad bar existence is... Not leaving the house.
I don't go to bars with guy friends. What do I know about it? I'm completely uneducated on this topic. I'm just making assumptions.
What is it?
Like, I talk to other human beings, and they have interactions that I experience human life vicariously through.
See, here's the thing about that education. You need to get that education. But you, on the other hand, that might be the ignorance you need. Because I don't know if you've heard this, but I heard from the greatest tweet of all time.
Yeah.
That you can't have school without recess.
Yes.
Speaking of which, anyhow, Thanksgiving said tweet, that. Pretty sure it's Taylor Swift, but I could be wrong again.
That is Kanye West.
Again. See, he is religious, so,
Yeah, with family, God is good. Happy thanks, Kanye
West. You're nailing it.
I'm breaking you.
You are.
So you are really starting to get a different idea here, maybe. Now you're going to the Taylor Swift part.
No, because here's the thing. You've been giving me tweets that say Kanye West might be boring.
Guys.
You're giving me nothing that says Taylor Swift isn't boring.
Thank you for the AMA. I'm so thrilled and thankful. I'm so excited. I think you've cured my jet lag.
I feel like Kanye's got a back and forth relationship with award shows at this point.
He does.
I'm going to say that's Swift.
It's Taylor Swift. You're right. You get one. You get one. All right. Well.
All right. We got any more? Or are we wrapping that up?
I think that's. Maybe I'll try and find one good one for us to end with. let's see. I might have to stretch back into the past.
But here's the thing. I think nothing here has convinced me that I'm wrong in the party thing. Because I still think, you know, a Taylor Swift party, you know, it would be like a pleasant, you know, famous people affair.
So this
but
one,
a Kanye West party, there might be a bowl of diamonds.
This
one. And you just reach your hand in the bowl. All
right. This one. This is an interesting one, okay? I know it's way after Fashion Week, but. Okay. I was just peeping this Versace shit and felt moved to tweet about it. See, that starts in one direction. And then it definitely goes in the other direction.
I knew, you're thinking that's a change up a bit.
Yeah.
But I knew from the moment you said Fashion Week,
That's
some Kanye West shit.
He's
a big fashion hound.
I don't know anything about Fashion Week.
Big fashion hound.
Yeah. I was in the Target, you know, the Target.
Right.
With my wife this week, and we were talking about women in leggings or slightly skinny jeans with the high boots, you know, which is a popular look. I mean, being winter, it's a kind of there's a little bit of utilitarianism there, or utility, not to get into the John Stuart Mill.
Yeah,
you know, because there's utilitarianism big U, and then there's utilitarianism small U. Or utilitarian, small U, and, you know.
No, I'm just going to say, I'm pretty sure that women in, you know, either leggings, you know, tight jeans, jeggings, whatever.
Yeah.
Who, you know, with high boots, are just trying to increase happiness amongst everyone.
So, set that aside. Move on. So, we're talking about this, and I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't really know anything about fashion, per se, but, you know, the look doesn't quite do it for me on most women, or maybe they're just doing it wrong. I don't know. And my wife says, well, you know, when I have a fashion question, I always ask this friend of hers, right? And I said, when I have a fashion question, I always ask myself why the fuck I have a fashion question. So that's kind of how I approach the Fashion Week thing. And that's why it's not really, you know, doing anything for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say Fashion Week is, you know, it's a thing. I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, but it's not really for us. Like,
it is not for you and I.
Yeah.
But it should be, Dave. Everything should be at least interesting to us and not just, you know, completely random off-the-wall bullshit that we don't care about.
No, that seems solipsistic.
I like it. Solipsism in this instance is fine. And I don't think it seems solipsistic. I think it seems selfish. And those are different, friend.
All right, then. Explain why that's selfish and not solipsistic.
Okay, selfish means...
Because we might as well drop some knowledge.
I think it means that it's me-oriented, right? Me-oriented, not solipsistic, which would infer that whether the world is me-oriented or not, I'm the only real thing in it.
Ah.
So those are different. I'm not saying I'm the only real thing. I acknowledge the reality, objective existence of Fashion Week as a concept in the heads of people who I also acknowledge the objective of existence of, but should still all cater to me.
So it should mostly just be like different Woot t-shirts then?
Yeah, I can't objectively prove that that I am the most important person on the planet. Or in existence. I can't objectively prove that, Dave, but I can say it out loud. And maybe some people will agree. And that's all I'm going for.
Okay, fair enough. So
yeah, exactly.
It's okay, I will agree with you. That's selfish.
There you go. Not solipsistic. So, yeah, I mean, good for him and his fashion, I guess. But, I mean, outside of, like, I don't know. I don't really get it. There's a certain degree to which fashion is, like, interesting because it can maybe give people some self-esteem. But I think far more often it is used to take away people's self-esteem. And thus, it is an injustice that should be wiped from the planet. If I were, like, a real-life paladin, like a D&D paladin, but in the real world, like in this life, I would fight against things like fashion.
See, and I guess the question I have here for you is, what do you even mean in that sense by fashion when you say a thing that should be wiped from the earth? I'm curious.
I mean, it's a thing where people are like, well, this is in style, and if you are not wearing this or dressed in this way, then you are less of a person because of it. And that is how fashion is used. If you will, in the pluralistic sense. That's how it's used in high schools and junior high schools by girls against other girls or boys against other boys. I was the victim many, many times of, you know, you're not wearing the right clothes, so you're a horrible, you're a subhuman. You know, I did not have...
In fairness, you were wearing tatters and rags that smelled of the sewer.
No, I mean, seriously.
Tatters and
I did
rags.
Not have the Nike pump-up shoes. Do you remember the Nike pump-up shoes?
Well, yeah, I had a pair.
I had the off-brand pump-up shoes, okay?
Well, yeah.
Like cheap dollar store pump-up shoes.
And to this day, I'm a little bit of a better person. Yeah,
I am apparently a Morlock who should be confined to, like, sub sewer systems. Like, I'm not even, those pump up shoes aren't even good enough to get you into the next, you know.
No,
and I mean,
face it, the main Morlocks at least had some Reeboks.
I mean, like, my kind of coming of age tale was like, hey, you know what, I'm not wearing corporate logos anymore. I'm not wearing anything with a corporate logo on it, and which made my shopping experience with my parents a lot more difficult. But cheaper, which I think they appreciated. But so, I mean, you know, fashion has hounded me my whole life, Dave. Like chaotic evil does to a paladin in, say, Greyhawk, you know? So you have to take up your sword, your Holy Avenger, you know, and put on your plate armor plus 5. And you have to go out and you have to swing that Holy Avenger.
You know, I'm going to leave you with a final thought.
All right.
I was going to say, given how deeply you really dove into that paladin metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you 100% sure that it was fashion behind your trials and tribulations?
I would like to actually say one thing. First of all, that was a terrible metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't correlate the sword to a certain aspect or anything like that. I just said, I'm like a paladin. Here are some dorky D&D references. And just hoped, like, the listener would be like, ha, 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 Chuck is very cool because he made a funny paladin joke. And then they would be more inclined towards what I was talking about earlier, which is that my wishes and desires are, like, objective truth.
Yeah, and see, because the podcast, you know, the construction of this is a little oriented towards that selfishness in that we're trying to make each other look good.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to call you out on the fact that didn't make any sense.
No.
I was just going to let it ride until you brought it up on yourself.
It's a part of, a lot of the podcast is improv, and I don't know if people realize this. We don't write this shit down for the most part. There have been a few things we've kind of chatted out ahead of time, but we don't, this isn't planned. This is all improv, which means, you know, first rule of improv is you don't say no. You just build the other person's story up. And then build your own story on top. But you don't deny or disintegrate the other person's foundation. So good on you, Dave. And that is probably Sarah Jordan. That is probably why we don't argue more. Because it would ruin the improv experience. So, paladin, me. Yes, I have to admit there was a day in my life when a friend of mine said to me, would you like to play Dungeons & Dragons with us? And, like, it was probably one of the best days of my life. Like, Dungeons & Dragons had been something I had heard all about, you know? And I was so interested in. So, I'm like, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old or so. And somebody's like, do you want to play D&D with us? And my head exploded. I was just so excited to play Dungeons & Dragons. So, yeah, I mean, there's that, Dave. But I will say that you know, that's about my... Those are about the years where I started to realize that fashion was not all it was cracked up to be. So maybe D&D taught me something. Because those books, I got to tell you, the art was not fashion art.
I don't know. But on the other hand... I'm going to say D&D, fantasy role-playing games, they are basically all about acquiring newer and more powerful clothes.
Oh, man, are they? There is nothing
like
more...
if you see someone in a plus one Hauberk,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a plus three Hauberk, you're just better.
Yeah.
You know? And that's fashion.
Don't even have to go there. It's not fashion, man. That is Adam Smith capitalism. It's just like everything is acquisition. You are the ultimate consumer. But as the ultimate consumer, as a D&D adventurer, someone who acquires gold to spend it on more and better items, and thus just really flooding local economies.
And basically on the blood of everything.
Yeah.
On the blood of everything.
That's kind of the thing, is like you live to acquire and conquer and expand. And if you think about it as like a... from a capitalist model, it actually goes beyond Adam Smith capitalism to corporate capitalism, which is kind of explicitly not Adam Smith capitalism. You consume, you know? You destroy in order to acquire, to make yourself more powerful. It's like a hostile takeover after hostile takeover, you know?
Right. Those were some good, honest, family-run dungeons.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we just went into the basement and we're just like, you know, there's a kobold there. And you're like, I reject
your right
to have stuff. I reject the culture of the kobold. I reject the social and moral mores of the kobold. I reject their right to exist. And thusly, I will slaughter them and take all that they had of value. Actually, it's kind of like American imperialism. It's like...
Well, anyone's imperialism, really.
North Vietnamese guy, I reject your political system, your social mores, your morals, and your right to exist. Bada, 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 you know?
All right, so here's my question to you. And I got to say, we're running a little late, so we're probably going to need to wrap up pretty soon.
Yeah.
But here's my question to you in a couple minutes. Like, is there some way... we could combine, you know, we could take the teenage, you know, nerdy fun of Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
And put it to some sort of more pro-social use. Like, could that even work? Could that be a thing? Because here's a correlation I just noticed. And since we're both statistical experts, we know that correlation equals causation.
Of course.
So I'm pretty worried about this now that I just thought about it.
Yeah, correlate the hell out of something.
Okay. More nerds than other people, almost exclusively nerds, are Dungeons & Dragons players.
Yeah.
More nerds than other people, almost exclusively nerds, are objectivists.
Ooh. Oh, man, Dave. You're hurting me in my soul here a little bit.
It hurts me to realize that.
First of all, you're correlating the both of us and saying that we should be objectivists.
I don't like it either.
Because of our love of Dungeons & Dragons.
I don't like it either.
That
frankly.
Hurts me. And then, it's harmful.
So,
I think
what can we do to make a more pro-social?
Here's the thing. If you go...
Dungeons & Dragons.
If you went and found the people who played Dungeons & Dragons in first edition and second edition, right? When they were new. I think you would find that a lot of those people are objectivists and libertarians. That's just what I would think. You get into second edition, okay? And all of a sudden, you've got, like, kits and things that have, like, flavor that don't help you in the rules, you know? Or you get proficiencies, like cooking and stuff. Stuff that would never help you slay a kobold and take what he has, right? They encourage kind of this adding to the world, rather than taking from it, you know? And I think that's where you start to get into more of a socialist bend on Dungeons and Dragons. When you start to get the emphasis of the good, you know, the emphasis of saving people rather than just stealing people's shit, you know. When you're introduced to something like Ravenloft, where you're given the world of Stark Evil and told to reject it, you know. And that's what we can build on, man. That's how we can make the world a better place. Dungeons and Dragons. You can leave in the violence, okay? But the violence has to be directed against clear evils.
So, oddly enough, that sort of harkens back to older D&D. Do you reject the attempts to give moral complexity to Dungeons and Dragons?
If you're trying to teach kids things, yeah, fuck that. Moral complexity isn't what a 6-year-old needs.
But on the other hand, here's the thing you lose with the if you're taking away sort of the moral complexity that people are trying to give to Dungeons & Dragons, because everyone tries to make everything more complex, and you know, in the end, and that's where certainly Dungeons & Dragons settings have gone.
Uh-huh.
So, can you lose the moral complexity without bringing back the sort of race war aspect?
Hey, forget about this, man. You know who enjoys the moral complexity? Postmodernists. Fuck those guys. And that's my final word. Actually, the race war thing is very interesting. I mean, in essence, we have had problems with racial issues on this planet, and that is, you know, a sad thing. But they have been intra-species because, you know, those are still Homo sapiens.
Right.
Whereas an orc dude is not a human. I mean, biologically, they're just not people.
What if they're sentient?
That is a whole moral issue that we have not had to deal with yet on this planet.
Well, I'm not sure if we've not had to deal with it, but we've certainly not dealt with it.
We've not had
we've to deal with it. We've been killing the no. shit out of dolphins.
Yeah, but they're not sentient.
And also, actually, in so much as they are so intelligent, they might be sentient.
Yeah.
They're evil.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing not that I like about dolphins, but I like about the dissonance between the concept of dolphins mm-hmm. and how dolphins act. Like, you know, people have, you know, oh, dolphins, they're so smart. They're the delightful, you know, fun mammals of the sea. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll tell you, you know what they are smart enough to do? Dolphins rape.
Yeah, they do.
It's insane the things dolphins do. Seriously, suddenly the you cove, look up on dolphins, people.
Suddenly the cove becomes a story of heroic Japanese people slaughtering evil dolphins. It's true. It's just true. Actually, orcas, you know, very smart too. They do this thing where they will kill a seal, especially when they're training their pups how to hunt and kill. And they take the seal who's half dead or all dead, and they throw it up in the air multiple times for no reason. Just for fun. Just having a good time with the seal corpse. So, chew on that, environmentalists.
You know?
Actually, if I could go and just clarify a few points, because we make a funny show here, haha. Moral complexity is important. I still love the environment, even if dolphins are evil. All right, just wanted to get that out there.
Good, settling that up.
Yeah, I just don't want people walking away from the show really hating me, you know. They need to love me if my conquering of the universe is going to go smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, I'm just
going to... Here's the thing. Like, I'm not evil, okay? I don't want to conquer the world, right? I don't want to force people into slavery, okay? I just want to convince them, one by one, that it's really the best thing if I just get my way. And they give me stuff. I want them to be happily doing it. Because I deserve that stuff. I don't want to, you know, enslave the human race. That's not cool.
And I think we can leave it there.
Alright, I'm just saying. You know? Your evil masterminds are always trying to make a mind control laser. That's not what I'm about, you know? I'm about a mind control conversation. you know, and really not control. It's like a mind-convince conversation. It's not about, you know, making people obey me. It's about, you know, making people want to obey me. All right, Dave, is there anything else that you would like to say to the listeners for episode 43?
Not the amount of time episode 43 has already been, no.
What are we up to, Dave? What are you
done? We're about an hour 12.
Hour 12. Oh, no. People are at least committed at least 12 more minutes than they expected.
Yeah, we're here in hour 12. It's been a long one.
All right. Hour 12. I don't think it's...
Been talking longer than you think.
I think maybe
it's 8 in the morning.
I think you might be...
We got to get... We're late. We're probably going to be late for work.
Yeah, we should get to work, I guess. All right, well... Thank you for listening to episode 43 of I'm Trying to Think.
Man, we didn't even talk about the fact that that's happening in the background.
Oh my, what's going on? It's we had a robot voice breakdown.
Yep.
Oh no.
Goodbye, everybody.
I hate when this happens. Alright, well. If you're still listening, listeners, what I would like to say is the Black Eyed Peas started as a breakdance group.
I did not know that.